At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Happy New Year to you and your family. As I shared yesterday on Facebook, as the final moments of 2024 began to kind of wind down, it's interesting to note, you know, I see all these new me, new year, new type things. Let me just tell you this, none of that means anything. It's just something that people say. If 2025 is going to be a prosperous new year for us, it starts with us. None of us is going to win a lottery. None of us is going to get discovered. If you do the same things you did in 2024, chances are, at best, it's going to be as good, at best, as it was last year. We're all getting older. You know, the world is changing. But if you really want to make change in your life, there's nothing magical about the turning of the calendar. It starts with us. We have to be better people. We have to commit more in the way of work, in the way of love. Those are the things that determine the quality of our year. Now, that understood, bad things happen to good people every day. And sometimes there are innocent victims that are involved in that sort of stuff. You know, there's illness, there's war, there's destruction in the world. There are things that happen beyond our control. As I noted, they'll be on your bingo card, and it may not be what you signed up for. Some of the worst years in my life have been because other people have put heavier things in my wagon that I had to carry for a while. We can make bad decisions, you know. We can be in the middle of all this stuff and not be sure about the direction of our own lives. But the important part of this thing is that, we are responsible for ourselves and we are responsible for the effort that we put in. But if we're sitting around expecting good fortune to arrive just because we think we're going to get lucky, we're kidding ourselves. So I hope everybody had a great New Year's Eve and you're excited about the new year. We're going to go about an hour or so today. And we'll recap some of the highlights of 2024 and a few lowlights. And we'll look ahead to 2025. But the most important thing is I hope that each and every one of you have a great 2025. 2024 is in the books. Simple as that. We can't change it. Got to live with it. Decisions we made last year could impact this year positively or negatively. Let's make the best of it. And before we get too deep into our show and our look back at 2024, let's offer our thoughts and prayers and unwavering support to those in New Orleans that are dealing with this unspeakable tragedy. I struggle at times to make sense of all of that. But everybody's like, well, you know, this is a terrorist attack. We should label it as such. Guys, it all means the same thing. It all means the same thing. There's at least, 10, 12 people whose families are going to be planning a funeral. It doesn't matter what we label the madman. But New Orleans is one of my favorite cities in the world. I love going to New Orleans. Even as a clean and sober person, I love the majesty and magic of New Orleans. I do. I enjoy going during the daytime. But sometimes I enjoy walking up and down Bourbon Street. That very easily could have been me, even though you'd never catch your good friend and host at Times Square or in the Quarter for New Year's Eve. It gets a little bit too people-y for me. But at the end of the day, I just think about, what people woke up to this morning. Very, very sad. Incredibly sad. And I don't know, obviously if we have any connections to anybody down there. I spent, 16 years in Baton Rouge, and so we got a lot of friends in the greater New Orleans area. We got some great Mississippi State alums down there in that area. I went and spoke at the one of the send-off events down there one time, and I know there are some people in the Crescent City that are hurting today, and I think I would be remiss if we did not mention that here on the show. And you know, for what that's worth, you know, offer our support to those people. Speaking of people that you can support, Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I like to eat and shop local. Now, there's just some things I got to get on Amazon, right? Food's not one of them. I enjoy being able to go put my feet under the table at Bulldog Burger Company and just have them take care of everything. Nobody does it better than them. Great food, great price, great service, great atmosphere, great location. It's been too long since you've been to Bulldog Burger Company, even if you went yesterday. You need to get in there. Whether you're having a work lunch, whether you're having an evening out with friends or family, they can accommodate you. They can nourish you. Because, you know, we don't just eat for survival. Sometimes you've got to eat for enjoyment. And that's where Bulldog Burger comes in. You can eat for enjoyment, in addition to the nourishment that you're going to get there. Great food, great prices, as always. And three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that great restaurant quality hamburger. I'm going to shake it up a little bit. I hadn't had the Mission in a while. I'm thinking about getting that one on my next visit in. But you never know what the special may be. And also get that the chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. Ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Before we get into our recap, we got it. Will Whitson's finally in the boat. And I know some people were freaking out about that. I was not. And I probably got a little salty, to be honest with you. Because, you know, I try to do my best. I have people all the time and say, Steve, I don't know how you do it. You know, I don't know how you do it. You continue to have patience with these people. Sometimes my patience does wear thin. But I explain to people over and over and over again on our message boards, on social media, every, you know, hey, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And the reason that I was so confident is that he had already signed. I did get some clarification from Steve Smith, our compliance director at Mississippi State. Reached out to Steve. I said, Steve, I want to make sure I understand this, you know, because the talk was last year that we wanted to have portal prospects sign a national letter of intent. And you may recall, like last year, Mississippi State, you know, Rashad Amos, remember him? Was committed to Mississippi State, then wasn't, then went to Ole Miss, got injured. Ole Miss lost a kid last year to Louisville. So last year, the FAA, the Financial Aid Agreement, basically, once it was signed, prohibited other SEC schools from recruiting your portal guys. Now, the National Letter of Intent has been done away with, but some protections that were provided by the LOI are now covered in the FAA. So, when a player signs and then that paperwork is then filed and put on record in the portal, everybody that was recruiting that player, because there is a database out there, you know, so if you contact this guy, you're offering this guy, whatever, it's all on file in the portal. And all that information's available publicly, but nevertheless, when a prospect is signed and that paperwork is then put on file, an email is sent to every single school that is on record of recruiting that prospect, and they have to record that themselves. And then, in the case of one Will Whitson, he goes from being, you know, transferring or available to being signed. So that is a national ban on recruiting once they sign. That was one thing that we talked about. I was unclear about, and I'm humble enough, despite what some people may think, that when I'm not sure about something, I want to ask somebody that is, so I can give you guys the most up-to-date information. Because heading into this portal season, I had not done my research on how those things were changing with the FAA. And some people are like, oh, no, it's nothing to worry about, nothing to worry about, nothing to worry about. And so Will Wetson signed days ago. And that's the reason I was so confident. You know, much like the Fluff Bothwell thing, you know. And as I share with people on the message boards at times, not everything is for public consumption, right? But sometimes you're going to have to trust me. Sometimes you're going to have to say, you know what, hey, Steve does this for a living and has been doing this for nearly 30 years. He may be privy to some information that others are not. Okay, that's not to be haughty or disrespectful or arrogant or anything like that. But I have people that I can contact that you can't. And that's not to say that I'm better than you or anything like that. But there's a reason that you're listening to my show. Okay, and so I was not the least bit worried about Will. And every time I got on the message boards, you know, it didn't matter what we were talking about. Like I could do the bones, you know, which you know, are updates that I do pretty much every day this time of year. I don't know if we'll get five today. We'll see. But I do a thing about receivers. And then it's like, hey, no update on Will Wetson. Guys, if I told you, it's fine. And then we start talking about cornerbacks. What? No update on Wetson? Is there a problem? Guys, no. Stop being so insecure. No. No, there wasn't a problem. If I tell you that it's in a matter of opinion, hey, this is my opinion, then there's going to be some wiggle room in there, that maybe there's some ambiguity in what I'm saying. But if I tell you there is nothing to worry about, there is nothing to worry about. Period. And so Will Wetson, now in, he is a guy, to be honest with you, from the very beginning, like as soon as he bubbled up on the radar, I looked into him and I'm like, you know, this guy here, not only does he look good on the hoof, as one former shamed recruiting analyst used to say, the numbers are great. The production level, great. Of course, he got banged up this year, took the redshirt year. So the 2024 numbers, not great, because he only played in a handful of games. He is a former junior college prospect, too. And it'll be interesting to see what that means moving forward, you know, with all the JUCO stuff kind of hanging out there. He spent 3 years at Independence Community College. He redshirted. You know, 1 year out there, they've got him incorrectly listed as played 3 years, but, you know, he was able to get a redshirt year. But he was an all-conference guy there, and then lands at Coastal. In 2023, played in 13 games. He was a reserve, only got one start, but guys, 42 tackles and 3 sacks, 5 quarterback hurries, pretty good numbers. Pretty high.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office.
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
They recruited out of JUCO, but it's all G5s. I mean, it was. Tennessee was in the mix with him. They never pushed in the end to get him. But Buffalo, Louisiana, Louisiana Tech, New Mexico State, North Texas, Toledo, UNLV, South Florida, Northwestern State, Eastern Kentucky, Jackson State, and Western Carolina. And so that was when he went to Coastal. And then, of course, this year at Coastal, a little bit banged up as I make some racket there for you. Just played the four games and 21 tackles in four games. Had a really big game against Jacksonville State. Forced a fumble in that game, too. Had a sack. Six tackles. But this is a guy that, you know, you talk about size. Guys, he's 6'5", 285, and wears that 285 exceptionally well. There's some clips out there of him you can watch online. You'll be glad you did. The guy's really good. I would venture to say he may be the best defensive lineman that we have committed out of the portal. Or more to the point, signed out of the portal. So that brings you up to 18. So everybody kind of wants to know what's next. But real quickly here, just kind of looking back at the run here. You know, we talked about how, guys, you didn't have to be an analyst or an expert to understand that we have issues on the defensive line. Injuries were a part of that. Some recruiting misses were a part of that. Size was a part of that. But you start running through these numbers now. I mean, just the last three commitments from Mississippi State, defensive lineman Will Whitson, 6'5", 285. Rasheen Thomas, 6'4", 262. And Darren Reed, 6'4", 285. We're going to look and play like a much different team. You throw in Malik Sela, 6'6", 245. As the illustrious Hind Dog said earlier this week, and he calls me Rose Bowl. I don't think he's called me Steven forever. But he goes, you know, there's never been a point in the Hind Dog and Rose Bowl friendship that we would not have been excited about a 6'6", 250-pound defensive end, ever. And I tend to agree with that. I think it's kind of been overshadowed at times. But and then you add in Jare Bledsoe, 6'4", 290. You know, you start – begin to look at this thing and you begin to realize, you know what, we've changed the dynamic and look of this team. Nevaeh Sanders, 6'4", 220. He'll be an edge guy. And then Red Hibbler, one of the most productive guys in the portal we've signed, 6'2", 271. It's crazy. The smallest defensive lineman we get is 6'2", and guys, we played with some guys around 6 foot this year. And so we have changed the look of that room. And, of course, we've made some coaching changes and need to reference that. But, you know, David Turner's going to have a little bit of help here as Vincent Dance. He's going to come in and coach the edges and the outside backers. Somebody asked me on the message board, and there was some confusion. And I'm not taking a shot at anybody, okay, so please understand that. They're like, hey, well, if he's going to coach the defensive ends, and maybe that's my fault, you know, because when I reported it, it's defensive ends, but it's edges and backers. Dave Turner is going to continue to basically coach everybody with their hand in the ground. Right? So, you know, the five techs, the four eyes, the three techs, the shades, the ones, the zeros, anybody that has their hand in the ground that has to get down in a 3 or 4 point stance, that's going to be Dave Turner. And then Vincent Dancy's going to take care of the guys on the outside. The guys that line up at a 7 technique and chase the quarterback and things like that. And again, former Valley coach, right? Head coach. So, again, former defensive coordinator, former head coach, you bring him in. And, of course, Paul Rhodes, you know, coming in to work as a defensive analyst. A lot of people are excited about that one. I think that's probably the biggest hire. People are like, oh, this is great. We want to be good on defense, Steve. So we've added an assistant coach. We've added a veteran coach, former head coach at Iowa State, and a guy that's coached defense his entire life. He's been in this league, what, 3 times? It's a good thing, right? And then Phil Lodeholt. And we'll have some comments for you up later today. Probably by the time you listen to the show, they'll already be up. But our friend Adam Munsterger, I think that's correct. Adam, I apologize. He runs our Colorado site. And so I told Jacob Bain, I said, hey, why don't you reach out to Adam and just kind of get his insight on these coaches? You know, what should we expect? You know, and so you can look for that only on jeanspage.com. But yeah, I like where we sit, and now we got to think about, hey, what's next? We got to get a corner at least, probably two. Maybe get one now, one in the spring. We'd like to get two now. And there's a lot of opinions about there about which way we should go. The end of the day is, you know, we got to replace those snaps that Bryce Pollock took for us last year. So that's available. And I think you tell somebody, hey, we have a starting position. Somebody's got to start. It could be you. You know, and so that's a big part of it too. And, you know, receivers. Receiver, we got to get a tackle, a corner, and we got to get some receivers. And so that's kind of the focus of things as we move forward. As we get into the visits of next week, you're going to see a handful of receivers in town. We'd like to get – I think you have to get two. You'd like to get three. You have to get two more. You'd like to get three. You had six leave in the portal. And then, of course, you know, Kelly Akari exhausts his eligibility. So that's seven guys that are gone. And not all those guys remain contributors, but you understand some guys were, like Kevin Coleman and Mario Craver. And so the reality of it is like, yeah, we are still deficient a little bit in the room. We've got to give bumping those guys some tools to work with. Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. All right, looking ahead now. Next segment of your show brought to you by closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E, with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. Listen, whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair can get you to the closing table when so many others cannot. He knows how to structure loans that give you the best chance to get approved through underwriting. Now, they don't tell you this when you're becoming an adult, but you need a mortgage guy. You do. Or a girl. I mean, it didn't make any difference to me. You know, it didn't make any difference to me whatsoever who you go with. But I just tell you this. You can make life a lot easier on yourself by reaching out to Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. All right, let's take a look back. You know, was it a great year in Mississippi State sports? I mean, you think 2024? I would say maybe it wasn't a great year. We had some good things that happened, but I wouldn't call it a great year. Maybe a good, possibly really good year in some respects. But, you know, when football is not good, it kind of changes the perception of everything. You know, football feeds everything. We had some big moments on the basketball side. We had some nice things happen in baseball, too. But, you know, I go back and I think about, you know, let's start with basketball, right? Let's start, you know, last year non-conference-wise, you know, I thought we played some teams that really tested us a little bit. But, again, we weren't sure what we had, right? We were excited about men's basketball, but we just weren't sure how things are going to play out. You know, we knew we had Josh Hubbard. We thought, hey, this kid's really good. But, I go back and I think about, you know, how this thing kind of rolled over into conference play. And as I noted on the Bo Bounds show, and I've done with you guys before here too, is that, you know, we didn't get a great schedule to start last year. And then we missed an opportunity early. We had to go to Columbia, South Carolina, and we lost that game by 6. And then we think, you know what, man, we're going to be staring 0-4 right in the face. But Chris Jans of the Bulldogs said no. No, January 10th, one of the biggest wins of the year easily. Mississippi State beats Tennessee 77-72. I can still see that Cam Matthews dunk to clinch it in my mind whenever I want to. One of the better games that we have seen at Humphrey Coliseum in a long time. And, you know, Dalton Connect nearly brought them back and made this game a bigger deal than it was. But, you know, State up 13 at the break in that ball game, and then, you know, they beat us by 8 in the second half, but we kind of cruised this thing along. What can you say about Dalton Connect? I mean, just, you know, great year, great career. But wasn't good enough to beat the Bulldogs in Starkville, Mississippi. And Josh Hubbard didn't start that game. And had 25 points. Tolu, big game, too, 23. But yeah, I think we can look back, you know, with the gift of hindsight and say, you know what, hey, that was one of those moments. It's like we expected to lose the game. I mean, there are a few of our basketball fans out there that said, you know, Steve, they're going to believe beyond belief, right? But Tennessee was ranked fifth at the time. A huge win for us. Huge win. You know, then we lose to Bama and Starkville. We got to go to Lexington. We lose there. So we're 1-3. And again, we thought we'd be 1-3, but with the win over South Carolina, I think we'd take that trade any day. I'll lose to South Carolina on the road, but give me a top five win over Tennessee. That helps pad the net the rest of the year. Get the win at Vanderbilt. We lose a game at Florida that we probably shouldn't have lost. We're thinking, you know what? Maybe we're just going to be middle of the pack. You know what? And Chris Jansen, the Bulldog, said, no, we're better than that. Because then number 8, Auburn, comes to Starkville, and we get them 64-58. What a great game that was, too. You know, of course, by this time, we had kind of figured out that, Josh Hubbard would probably needed to be in a starting lineup, and Josh leads us that night with 17 points. Shaquille Moore had a dozen. Cam Matthews had 14. But you look up, and you're not even through the month of January, and you got a pair of top 10 wins in SEC play. We go to Ole Miss, lose a game we shouldn't have. We go to Tuscaloosa. We get drilled in that ball game. Drilled. Come home, we get Georgia. Go to Missouri and win, and we've taken some good teams to Missouri, and weird things have happened. Lamar Peters, remember that craziness? We get absolutely jacked in that game. Official screwed us, man. They did. We get Arkansas here. We get Ole Miss here. We go to Baton Rouge and Josh Hubbard. I don't know if I've ever seen a shooter as hot as he was down the stretch in that game against LSU. It's absolutely ridiculous, man. And Josh Hubbard, 32 on the night. And everybody in the SEC is like, you know what, you better find a way to get a hand in the face of Josh Hubbard because he will absolutely burn your house down as he did the Maryville Assembly Center. We get Kentucky to come in here, a game that we feel like we should have won. And we end up losing it by 2. Tough, tough, tough deal. Then we had to go to Auburn. We dropped the game over there by 15. We went to College Station, and we were hopeful we could find a way to win that when we don't. And then we had that crazy game against South Carolina. And South Carolina improved over the course of the season. And they beat us here, 93-89. And we start thinking, well, this is probably it. You know, we need to probably find us a way to win a game or two in the SEC tournament to work our way firmly on the right side of the bubble. We get LSU in Nashville in probably a more competitive game than people expected. And then, again, just for Chris Jans to prove once again that it wasn't a fluke, we absolutely destroy Tennessee. Number 5 again at Tennessee, 73-56. And it's so fun to win that time of year and to win so convincingly. Guys, we came out and we were shooting from the locker room. It was a 19-point lead at the break. And then we basically traded baskets in the second half and win that thing by 17. Josh Hubbard with 18, Cam Matthews with 18, and everybody got into the scoring act, even Jimmy Bell with 8 points. One of those days that made you really proud to be a Bulldog because you knew, no matter what happened the rest of that tournament, nobody could say, you know what? Mississippi State doesn't deserve to be in this tournament. Yeah, we had some games that we lost that we should have won. But Chris Jans got the most out of his kids at times when the competition was at its best. We were hoping for a repeat against Auburn. We end up losing that game by 7. But we make it to the NCAA tournament and, of course, lose to Michigan State. And it just kind of felt like things were never, ever, ever coming together for us that day. It just didn't work out for us. And, we had coverage of the game. But I think you look back and you say, hey, there was some real highlights on the men's side of the basketball ledger. And, again, you bring many of those pieces back this year. Shaquille's gone, Jimmy Bell's gone, Tolu's gone. But you got Cam back, you got Josh back, Sean Jones is back. And so you kind of supplement around that. And I think, honestly, this year's team, I think, would beat last year's team by 15 or 20 because I think we're so much better offensively. But, we didn't win an NCAA tournament game, but we did make it for the second consecutive year. with Chris Jans at the helm, and I think everybody this year feels very confident about, you know, what to expect as we move forward into conference play. And again, the league is great this year, but we're great this year. I think it's okay to go ahead and say that. I mean, we drop one game, you know, against Butler, a game where we kind of let them dictate terms to us a little bit. We kind of played their game, and they beat us at their game. All right, look on the women's side of things. And this is, you know, we talk about depth. And I think right now we have our depth issue resolved. I think. You know, last year down the stretch, we just got absolutely gassed. But, you know, you get through the non-conference thing last year and you feel like, okay, this team's going to be good. You know, have a chance to be good. I mean, you know, you go out here and you lose the game against Miami in the hump with Jessica Carter all banged up and out. You know, and you lose by 6. We had trouble defending the perimeter that night, too. We really did. Then you lose at UT Chattanooga, and then people are like, you know, we got to get some people healthy. But Sam and those guys kind of figured some things out, you know, later. But, you know, it was one of those deals, again, where I didn't think we had, you know, a peach of a schedule to start SEC play. But losing to Vanderbilt at home was not something that we anticipated. And then you got to go to Columbia, South Carolina. And we actually competed pretty well in that ball game. I know the score is 85-66, but it kind of provided a sense of hope. And then, of course, you know, we finally get Arkansas. We beat Ole Miss by a dozen, you know, to even the record. And then you lose to Tennessee, and that's a game we feel like we were in. Go to Florida, you win there. And then, again, you have these moments where you see the best of the Bulldogs kind of come to the forefront. That's what happened, is we knock off LSU, who were number 9 at the time, 77-73. One of the most incredible nights that we've had since Vic Schaefer left Mississippi State. Of course, you know, we beat Tennessee a couple years ago with Sam. But this is it. This was the marquee game. And you won this game, and it made us kind of believe what could be. Then we go to Lexington and we win there. Crazy, crazy ball game, if you recall. You go win at A&M. You get Georgia. You start putting some things together. Next thing you know, you start looking up there, and it's like, man, we're in the top two or three in the league. We're not going to catch South Carolina, but we could finish top two or three seed in this tournament. And then, man, everything just kind of fell apart for us. I mean, it just absolutely did. And, again, a lot of that's got to do with injuries. It's true. But, you know, we lose that game to Florida. I covered that game, and it just felt like we couldn't get stops. You know, we had some plays early on, but we absolutely could not get stops. Lose by 20. Then we go to Oxford and lose. Competitive game, but we lose there. Then we lose to Kentucky. You lose to Alabama. You lose to Auburn. And then everything that we had hoped for as far as finishing the top half of this league and having a chance to really make a run, the NCAA tournament, was pretty much erased. We do get a win over Missouri to snap the streak. And then we think, okay, we've got to go win a game, maybe two, in the SEC tournament to make the tournament field. And we got absolutely drilled by Texas A&M. Drilled. Now, that granted, they had some players back, you know, they were healthy, that had kind of plagued them the whole year. And then we have the, you know, the women, the BIT, you know, the Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament. We end up being in that, and, you know, it's just not the same. Made a run, though. Won a couple games. But I think you look back and say, you know what? I wouldn't even say it was a good year. It was an above-average year. You know, we expect to make the tournament. We hope to make the tournament, and we can't pull it short. And I don't think that's necessarily a reflection on Sam Purcell. I think it's the fact that we just had so many injuries last year. The depth was a real issue. We just ran out of gas. We just absolutely ran out of gas. But, yeah, I think we're a little more hopeful this year. Now, granted, the non-conference schedule's not great. I don't know how good the league is going to be, you know, outside of a handful of schools. You know, so we'll see. But do we have a chance to finish the top half of the league? I think so. We're going to have to continue to play good defense, though. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. You should too. Chances are you already know about them. But if you don't, you owe it to yourself to go by there next time you're in town on the backside of campus. Very easy to get to. Go to Campus Bookmart and peruse their fine selection of Mississippi State offerings. You'll be glad you did. Everything you need for the Mississippi State fan in your life is available to you at Campus Bookmart. Now, many of you, let's just be honest with this, while we will never admit it to another human being, we can admit it to each other privately. Some of you were disappointed with Christmas, right? And it's not that you don't feel grateful. You're grateful for all the things you got. You know, you got the socks, you know. I mean, you know, it's just how it is, Dad, okay? And maybe you didn't get that quarter zip you wanted. Maybe you didn't get that special little knickknack for your office. Take matters into your own hands. You know, you work hard and you pay for everybody else's stuff. It's okay to spoil yourself a little bit. And maybe, Mom, maybe you didn't get, you know, those Mississippi State plates that you wanted for the tailgate. You know, it's okay. It's okay. It's a new year. So let's make some moves for ourselves a little bit, okay? So visit campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75, and you order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. When you go in there, there is a chance, though, that you will get a complimentary hug, and I'm a free hug guy. I like free hugs. I do. And maybe it's just me. Maybe they don't hug everybody. Maybe it's just me. But go by and check it out next time you're in town. Campus Bookmark. All right, let's talk baseball. A better year. I thought it was a good year, not a great year. Offensively, I don't think we were near what we should have been. And I think we had some guys that had some draftitis. That's me. And I don't know that anybody covers the team as extensively as I do. But, going back, you know, we had some injuries early on, and sometimes you forget that, right? You forget the fact that, you know what, hey, we had, Logan Kohler, a guy that we were expecting some big things from, dislocated his shoulder the first weekend of the year, and it's like, there goes the season. Dave Mershon pulls a hammy in the last scrimmage before the season. So that's the left side of your infield. In many respects. And Dylan Cup, of course, had to get out there and played really well defensively. And just when he was kind of figuring it out offensively, he gets banged up. And I think about what would it look like if Mershon and Kohler, those guys, you know, had been able to play with Dylan Cup, you know, 50 games. Look at what we'd be defensively. Because we had some issues at second base. We did. Had to try a lot of guys there. You know, we ended up putting Ethan Pulliam there late. But, people forget. You know, we got out of the gate. You know, we beat Air Force. And it was so funny, too. There were some people that were forecasting Air Force to be, you know, a tournament team. I felt that they would be a team that could possibly, you know, win their conference. I didn't see a lot of that until, like, right before they came to town. But, you know, we blow the game. Game two, we should have swept that series. We lose that game 3-2. And that was the thing that I was thinking, how do we give up? How does this happen? You know, we're up 2-1 in the night. Chance to put this thing away. And we don't. And we knew all season long we needed to try to find a way to get a closer, right? And Colby Holcomb was in, you know, walked a couple of guys, and then we bring in Cheatham, they get an infield fly, so we get an out there, then we bring in Brooks Auger and think, okay, we can get this thing done. And, just kind of a C&I single gets through. And you look at it and say, you know what, we should have swept these guys, and we should have. But I think the bigger concern there was like, we knew we were going to have trouble closing our ball games, or we felt we were. And now here it is manifesting itself in the very first series of the year. Of course, we blast them in game three, win the series, like, okay. And I remember walking into Duty Noble on Tuesday, February 20th, and I see Chris Simonis. And I said, you know, I've done a little research and talked to some Major League Baseball scouts about all these transfers with Austin Peay. This game could be interesting. And Lamont said, yeah, it could be. We're going to play well. And it's the same scenario that kind of unfolds here. You know, we get down in the ballgame and come back, make it a 3-2 game in the sixth, and then can't get over the hump. And we blow it. So now all of a sudden you're 2-2 and everybody's out. The Boo Birds are out and everything else. And then the next day we're absolutely just spanking Austin Peay. You may have forgotten this. We are rolling. You get up 5-0. You're like, okay, cool. And the next thing you know, they make it a 5-4 ball game. We respond, get 3 runs, make it 8-4. They get a run in the fifth. We get 2 in the fifth. And it's like, okay, we're good. Everything is love, man. We're up 10-5. It's great. There's no way we blow this. Well, we did. We give up 3 in the eighth and 4 in the ninth to get swept in a midweek twosome from Austin Peay. And at that point, many of you wanted us to go ahead and make a coaching change. We bounce back and take 2 out of 3 from Georgia Southern. But, we got spanked in that second game, 11-4. You know, just wasn't great. It wasn't great. You know, that's the thing, too. You know, Cal Steven takes a loss there, and people are like, you know what? Maybe this isn't going to work out, Steve. Of course, Cal ended up being an All-American when it's all said and done. But this didn't have his best stuff that day. You know, we get Jackson State. We sweep Mount St. Mary's, as we should have. And then we get Southern Miss down in Pearl. Evansville comes in here, and we sweep them. And it's so funny. Even with the sweep, some people were like, I mean, Steve, come on, it's Evansville. And then you look up, and they're playing in a super regional with a chance to go to Omaha. Pretty crazy, right? Evansville, the Purple Aces, were our friends down the stretch. But we swap them. And, you don't get any quality control points for that. But we head down to Biloxi and we split a pair down there, South Alabama game. We drop a fly ball out there and left that opened up the possibility of us losing the game. And we did. We walk off UNO to win 2-1. And I don't think anybody, after those two games in Biloxi, it's like, hey, we should have won the first one. Well, we could have lost the second one. And that's the fact, too. You look at it and say, there's no way these midweek games should have been this close. 2-1-1 affairs in Biloxi did not inspire much in confidence, especially with the defending national champion LSU Tigers coming in here with Tommy White with a number 2 next to their name. And what do you know? We get them on Friday night. We did. We got them Friday night. You're like, okay, all right. All right, let's go. Beat Luke Holman, a kid that we thought, you know, we had a good chance of coming here. He didn't come here, and we went out there and raked him. And then you get to game 2, and Cal Steven goes out there and doesn't have a good game. Simple as that. You know, Cal gets up. It's a 5-1 ball game after 2, and then they score. It's 9-1. After 3, and then we kind of get back into it. We have a chance late, but Nate Aquinhausen closed the door, and they win 9-8. But we felt like, hey, you know, we get a quality start there, you win. And a lot of people are like, you know what, Steve, this Cal Steven kid is just not good enough pitching the SEC. And then we 10-run rule LSU on Sunday. So we take the series, and people are like, you know what, maybe we're better than we thought. We go to Memphis. We get Memphis here. We win. We go to College Station, Texas, and that's when Hunter Hines gets bumped. That crazy Sunday game. It's horrible officiating. It is what it is. We get Samford here, and then we go to Florida, and you know, we blew the bookend games, right? We had a chance to win Friday night. We blow the lead in the ninth. We 10-run roll them on Saturday. We have a chance to take the series, and we get walked off for the second time in 3 days against Florida, who ended up making the Omaha. They were number 6 at the time, but we were thinking, you know what, these guys aren't very good. We should have won the series, and we should have won the series. Central Arkansas comes in here and beats us at 11 a.m. game, and that became an anchor to our RPI the rest of the year. We get Georgia. We take 2 of 3, but you and I all know we would have swept that series if the SEC office hadn't screwed up the ejections in that crazy game. Nuts, man. UAB gets called off, and then we go to Oxford, and we lose the series up there for the first time in forever. We win the first time, 8-0, and then, you know, again, we got a chance to walk it off. We got a chance to close out the series and Saturday, and we blow 3 leads. And then we get absolutely crushed on Sunday. And so they finally won the series. But again, this was not about them winning. This was about us not making plays. Give them credit for Sunday, but the State should have won that series. Ole Miss not very good last year, despite what they'll tell you. We get Arkansas State. Then we get Auburn in here, and we sweep Auburn. Sweep them, which is great, right? That's three. Number one, great for Super Bulldog weekend, but three SEC wins always looks great. We go to Memphis and win a tightly contested affair there, and then we win two out of three at Vanderbilt, something nobody expected. The Hunter Hines home run in the ninth inning is one of the greatest baseball memories that I have had on the road. Incredible. And, of course, Vandy gets it together late. State gets the redemption game against Ole Miss to even the season record at 2-2, but we want that series. We'll give you the cup. We really don't want to give them anything. Alabama, we get two out of three there. Remember, that's the food poisoning deal. Remember that? Remember all the food poisoning stuff that happened? Maybe you forgot. We go to Arkansas, and we lose two out of three and feel like we should have swept the series. And you know what? We should have swept the series. Connor Hyzak was out. Nadone was out. You know, you go back and look at all this stuff, and it's like, you know, again, blown leads. You know, especially on Sunday, we just kind of race out to a lead there, and it's like, dude, we're going to take this thing. Guys, it was a 6-0 ball game. And when you don't score in the final five innings of a game, you tend to lose. We got outscored 9-0 the rest of the way. Out hit them 13-8. And we lose ball game and ultimately the series. And I said then, this is an Arkansas team. It's not nearly as good as their press clippings would suggest. If we get paired up with them in a super regional, I would be perfectly okay with that. We get North Alabama, and then we take two out of three from Missouri. Again, we should have won the thing. We should have swept the whole thing. You guys know it. Give up a couple runs there in the seventh, and then we can't punch one across there in the eighth and ninth, even though we out-hit them 11-7. Tough stuff, man. Again, the SEC tournament, you walk off Ole Miss on the Connor Hyzak home run. You get A&M, and everybody kept saying, man, one more win. State's hosting, one more win. Didn't work out for us, but we ended up losing to Vanderbilt by one, and then by Tennessee, eventual national champion Tennessee, by one. But we felt like we'd done enough. But in the end, those terrible midweek losses were an anchor to our hosting opportunities. True story. So you beat St. John's, you lose to Virginia by one, a game that we should have won. We beat St. John's again, and then we get... You know, we're cruising against UVA, thinking we got a chance to win that ball game too. Big Hunter Hines home run early in the ball game. It's a 2-2 ball game into the ninth, and then it is a 3-2 ball game in favor of Virginia into the ninth. And it felt like that we'd kind of gotten to Jay Woolfolk a little bit, and we'd get in that bullpen, season ends. So we felt like at the beginning of the year that a road regional was probably what we were expecting. If not slip in, if people say, I don't want to be a backdoor guy, maybe you do. But we said, hey, if we're a solid number two somewhere, I'll consider the season a success or at least a step in the right direction. We got that. This team this year is better than last year. Now, the flip side of that is, you know, people are like, oh, you know, last year we had Nate, we had Gerangelo, we had Cal Steven. And remember, many of you, after the blow up against Air Force and blow up against LSU, or Georgia Southern, excuse me. You felt like, you know what, this Cal guy is not going to be able to get it done. And we knew what we had with Nate. We thought we knew what we had with Gerangelo. Justin Parker turned those guys into machines. And Nate, of course, some injury problems down the stretch there. Wish him the absolute best. I love Nate Dome. I do. He's great. Saw him here a while back during soccer. Came out and supported the soccer team. But you didn't know. This time last year, you didn't know. I mean, the only weekend guy that you felt like, hey, I know he can go out there and compete was Gerangelo. And then towards the end of the 23 season, I think Gerangelo kind of lost his confidence. But a good year, and this year's team I like better. I think will be better offensively, more balanced offensively. You know, you need some more power from the left-hand side than just Hunter Hines. We thought we had it with Logan Kohler. That didn't come through. I think you've got some dudes now that you're not really talking about as much, but this time next year, you're going to be like, man, I'm so glad that guy came our way. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I'm actually staying there now. I'm home right now. I had to come home, take care of the dogs, all that good stuff, you know. And plus, that's the thing about the staycation in town, right? There's always a million things. Hey, can you run home and get this and get that and get this? You know, you would live without them otherwise. But nevertheless, that's the burden of being dad sometimes, and also the joy of being dad. But all that I understood, you need to bring your family. We have had a great time there. We have. Plenty of room for everybody to spread out. But, you know, we spent most of our time gathered around that dining table, playing apples for apples, you know, playing some games the kids have brought. We just enjoyed being together. And it's so cool, just, you know, being able to cook right there. You can't cook in your hotel room, right? Full service kitchen, the wet bar, we have not partaken of that. But we did get out there and use the great fire pit area, despite the fact there's been some moisture in the air. Your good friend and host was successful in getting a great fire for his family. Don't you know the cavemen were pumped when they first discovered fire? Yeah, of course they were. You need to plan your own trip to the Golden Triangle, and the best place to stay is the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I can now personally attest to that after staying there. It is a great, great place. The old renovated country club, clubhouse, just 5 minutes from the Mississippi State campus, out there just past the Highlands. If you know the area, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right off 182. Now, Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you can see the amenities available to all of you and your guests. In addition to that, you'll have the opportunity to see some booking options. Airbnb, VRBO, if you want to go that route, you can. But if you want to save some money, I can help you do so. Book through the Evolve website. And use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson, and the number 10 gets you 10% off your stay. BSR10, 10% off your stay. Well, it's a ball game weekend, a midweek work trip. It's a great place to go to have everybody together. And again, we've had such a feeling of family and community. My parents are here. It's been wonderful to have everybody here under one roof. I can't wait to kind of finish up my work here and get back, and we're going to watch some football. Dana's going to make some chicken and sausage gumbo. We'll eat on that all day long, you know. But it's been a great experience, and I think you guys owe it to yourselves to do the same. So research yourself. Be the leader within your own family or friend group and book a great trip to the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, we're not going to spend a lot of time on football. We've done this so much. I mean, the schedule is what it is. You went back and looked. The year didn't go nearly as well as we thought. And, you know, we knew it was going to be a challenging year. I think 5-7, 6-6 for most of the predictions. And we didn't meet that. You know, we didn't. But, you know, we're taking some steps in the portal now to correct things for next year. But you open up with the 56-7 win over Eastern Kentucky. You thought, okay, hey, this looks good. The shaping kid's better than we thought. We go to Arizona State. We lose that game 30-23. But I think the final score is actually somewhat deceiving. You know, Scadbo ran all over us. And some people were like, in the next couple weeks, he didn't do as great. Some people were like, oh, look at this guy. He ends up being sixth in the Heisman balloting. But you know, Blake Shapen with a big, big, big mistake early in that ball game allowed him to get some separation. But we kind of got it figured out there in the second half. But the reality of it is, and I said it then, the edge comes off. When you're up three scores going in the second half, everybody comes a little bit disengaged. And then we get blown out by Toledo. And I saw some people say, well, I feel better because they won their ball game. I don't. We should never lose to Toledo, ever. Ever. All due respect to Jason Candle. We were getting blown off the line of scrimmage in that ball game, and we really got exposed against Arizona State, and Toledo kind of followed that, but they took some shots down the field too. The game was not close. Then we play Florida, and it was a competitive game for a long time. We had a chance to make it a one-score game late. Blake Shapen ends up getting injured and is out for the rest of the year, and the season at that point is over. It's over. Right, we were hoping to be 3-1 after four games and really thought, hey, we got a chance here. You find a way to win at Arizona State, and we expected to beat Toledo. And you're thinking, hey, we're going to be 3-0 when Florida comes to town. They're going to be 1-2. They were, and ended up really putting things together down the stretch. So we're 1-3 headed to Texas, and you're like, you know, the Steelers know we're going to win this ball game. actually went out there in a one-score game at the half, and Michael Van Buren played exceptionally well for us. And then we go to Georgia. Mike, again, very good. We made some plays in a passing game against a really good Georgia secondary. But we lose. You know, it's not about us keeping it close. And that's kind of what we kind of started rooting for the cover. I don't want to get back to rooting for the win. We thought A&M coming in here, we had a chance to win. And Connor Wegman tried to give us the game. We just wouldn't take it. And we ended up losing by 10. And then probably to me, you know, the Toledo was the biggest disappointment. But to get blasted the way we did by an Arkansas team whose offense had began to struggle a little bit, we get beat 58-25. And that's one of those games you look at and say, you know what? We are nowhere near where we need to be. Bounce back and beat UMass 45-20. And you forget, we were down early in that ball game too. Kind of got it going. Went to Tennessee. It was a game until Dylan Sampson kind of took over there in the second half. They win 33-14. We thought we had a shot against Missouri. We kept talking ourselves into thinking that could be an SEC win. It was a competitive game for a while, but ultimately Brady Cook emerged victorious. And then we go to Oxford. And their playoff hopes were you know, basically vapor at that point. And, yeah, we cover, but, you know, the egg still stays in Oxford. But Mike Van Buren did not have a good game in this one and left some points on the field and ultimately ended up leaving the program. And a lot of people were disappointed about that. I actually think we're okay. I think Blake coming back is a good thing. Is Blake good enough to get us to a bowl game next year? I think he is. But it's all going to be about defense and running the football. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the historic soccer season that we had this year. Most victories in school history. You win the SEC championship. You get a chance to host again. We get back to the Sweet 16. You know, we finished the year 19-3, and for much of the year, we led the nation in goals against average. Pretty special year, and ultimately, we lose James Armstrong to Auburn. Not a great deal. For sure. I want to give a shout-out to the softball team, too. Coach Ricketts, Tyler Bratton, Josh, everybody over there does such a great job. You know, really felt like Coach Ricketts and that staff needed a good year to hang on here for a little bit. But they do. They right the ship. And we went for the media event early in the year, and it just felt like there was a different air in the building when you went and took care of all that stuff. It was pretty cool. To see, but we ended up 34-20 and finished 500 in SEC play. But, you know, postseason kind of proves to be our undoing a little bit, you know. But, you know, some big wins along the way, obviously. Felt good about our season. You know, the A&M series late was one that kind of would have legitimized us as a real contender. Didn't work out that way. But you do get Arkansas and get beat by Florida 7-6 in a, you know, rubber match that proved to be a tough one. But took 2 out of 3 from South Carolina down the stretch. And then we beat Tennessee in game one and then lose the next two. And it's a very good Tennessee team. But, yeah, I mean, it kind of is what it is. But we were a good team. We weren't a great team. We were a good team. We get into the regional play and we get beat. We beat Cal State 4-1, lose at Stanford, and then lose to Cal State 4-1, and just kind of fell apart for us. But, you know, a good year. And again, so again, you look back and say, okay, you made the NCAA tournament on the men's side, you made the BIT tournament on the women's side. And again, we felt like we should have been a tournament team. You make an NCAA regional in baseball, you drop that regional, and had we won that and hosted a super regional here, who knows what could happen? I mean, that's how important those midweek games were. If you play Virginia here in front of all you guys, it's probably a different dynamic, truly. You lose the regional in softball, you win the SEC tournament in soccer. You know, so some things to feel good about. But there's not, outside of soccer, there's not that one season you look at and say, hey, man, this was a historic year. You know, but it is what it is. And now we get ready for a new year. And, you know, when we come back on Monday, I'm going to give you some hot takes for what I expect to happen in 2025. Before we get to that, on Monday. I want to comment too about the men's basketball game on Monday. You know, we struggled a little bit. I guess on Friday we'll have the show, but I forget what day it is this time of year. But 12-1, and yeah, we kind of played down to our competition. It wasn't our best performance against Bethune-Cookman. And I think some of that, too, is the long layoff, you know, the holiday layoff. That's part of it. But State wins the game 87-73, Bethune-Cookman now 3-10. State 12-1 on the year. We get Trey Thomas and Breon Freeman. We talked about them in our preview. Both of them go for 21. Yeah. It's not they were surprised. Josh Hubbard with 16, Claude O'Harris with a dozen, R.J. Melendez with a dozen. Riley Kugel beginning to kind of find his groove in maroon and white with 22 points to lead all scorers. That's always a great thing. And so we want to go ahead and get you prepared, and we'll do a preview on Friday, but you need to be thinking about making plans to be in Humphrey Coliseum as much as you can be these next couple of months. But beginning on Saturday, it's a 1 p.m. tip against South Carolina, the SEC opener. And again, we'll preview the game on Friday. But be thinking about that as you make your weekend plans. And again, I think I like our team. They're fun to watch. And the women 13-1 as we get ready to begin SEC play. We will open up tomorrow on the road at Kentucky, number 16 Kentucky. And again, we went up there and won a weird ball game last year. It was pretty nuts. It truly was. But a win's a win, right? And that's how it always goes. It doesn't matter to me how everybody feels about it. I just know this. I just want to win. And this Kentucky team, again, you know, you look at them and say, you know what? We have taken some good teams up there and lost. They are 11-1 and a perfect 8-0 at home. They did lose one neutral side game. That's the lone blemish on the schedule. But, you know, a big win for them against Louisville. It was ranked 18th at the time. They win that game by 10. They take down number 19, Illinois, in a Music City Classic, 76-53. Their long loss was in the SEC-ACC Challenge against North Carolina. I don't know how that's actually a neutral floor, but that's a true road game. I think that number, I read it wrong. My mistake. But that's really it. You know, they played Purdue, Western Kentucky. I mean, kind of like everybody else. But I would say the quality of their non-conference schedule has been better than ours. And so it'll be interesting to see. You know, that first quarter is so incredibly important in road games. You've got to give your people a chance to believe and kind of give them a little bit of doubt. But, we'll look forward to recapping that game for you on Friday and then previewing the men's game. But that's going to do it for today's show. When we get back together on Friday, we'll bring the top 10 list back because I'll have plenty of time to work on that. And I'm going to give you my my top 10 songs from 2024. I know some of you look forward to that every year, and you should. I love the new stuff, but not as much as the old stuff, but I do love it. And so I want to say this again, that so many of you mean so much to me, from buying the book, subscribing to the website, which you can still do for a couple more days at 50% off the annual subscription price, and coming to Float. The spa has been absolutely packed the last couple of weeks, some of the most successful weeks that we've had. Matter of fact, you know, we blocked off some time last night so then it could come have dinner with the family. Of course, we're closed today. But many of you got gift cards for Christmas, and you're trying to get booked up and set up, and we love you for that. You know, we think floating should be a regular part of your life. But I am so grateful to all of you that support us. And I've got a great team at jeanspage.com. I love the team. I love their tenacity and their willingness to get out there and really compete and bring you guys the best information about the Bulldogs available anywhere in the history of Al Gore's internet. So we'll be back on Friday. We love each and every one of you. Enjoy some time with family, and we look forward to a very successful and prosperous 2025 for you and your families. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.